Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Let's be clear on these dates. Today is March 17th. It is the middle of Lent, but it is also the feast of St. Patrick. The Sunday, March 19th, the readings that we're going to take a look at now for Sunday, March 19th, is the feast of St. Joseph. So the Feast of St. Joseph has been transferred to Monday, so you know that. So on Monday, we're going to talk much more about St. Joseph, and those of you who are Irish can somehow enjoy St. Patrick on Friday. But we're going to look right now ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which is the third Sunday of Lent. Third Sunday of Lent. Here we are in the middle of Lent. And I really do urge you, brothers and sisters, please don't just go through this. Don't just sit through these programs and say, oh, this is good or that is good or whatever the case may be. Really look at yourself. Be honest. Take time. Make time. Examine your soul. Don't be afraid, because God can wipe everything clean that we repent for. Everything. His mercy is everlasting. But we do need, as I've often said, to acknowledge our sin and repent for our sin. So here we are, close to the middle of Lent. Where are we? Are we growing? Is some area in our life beginning to change, even if it's just a tiny little thing? The tiny little things come together and the darkness grows dimmer, and we begin to see a little light on the horizon, and the more we repent of our sin, the more light shines in our life. And that light is Jesus. I am the light of the world. That's what God has for you. I want to say, too, in addition to my free booklet that's available to you at the end of this program, the toll-free number you can call for a free copy of my booklet. That information is available to you. I also want to encourage you to take a look at our website, renewalministries.net. Renewalministries.net. You can listen to the program. If the radio station is not available in your area, you can listen to the program on our website, renewalministries.net. Just click on radio and then click on Food for the Journey, and you can listen to the programs to your heart's content. But I especially want to encourage you to also take a look at our bookstore. I'm going to say more about this next week. But take a look at our bookstore. Take a look at the CDs that are available. See if there's the books, the booklets. See if there's anything there that's going to help you to overcome sin, to overcome, by the grace of God, evil in your life, and to become more and more a light in the darkness. And then to be able to give that light and bring light to the darkness of many others, many others. Please take heed, brothers and sisters. We need to be men and women of the light, God's light. The world is dark and it's getting darker. We need to become more and more the light. So start with yourself, and then we'll see what God does with us. The first reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 3 to 7. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt?" You notice, remember how much they wanted to get out of Egypt? They wanted to get away from Pharaoh. They were slaves. They were in pain. All kinds of things were happening. Moses, take us out. Take us out. And he did. And then what are they saying now? Because they're hungry. They're thirsty for water. So what do they immediately do? They blame Moses. "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" And poor Moses, he doesn't know what to do either. So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. Remember, they had that incredible miracle of the parting of the Red Sea that brought them into new land and into safety. And how fast we forget what God has done for us and we start complaining for what we don't have. Take a look at that in your life. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink. This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" Do you notice? This is just so typical. I mean, it sounds almost comic here, but it isn't. It's terribly serious. And we do it all the time. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this gift. And then the next day, something else goes wrong. Where is God? And why doesn't God hear my prayer? We so easily forget what God has done for us. That's why I encourage you, maybe make it a habit for the rest of your life. But sometime every week, many times you can do it every day, but at least once a week, take time to thank the Lord for what has happened in the course of this week thus far and what you're grateful for. Thank Him. Because what happens is God then has even more room in your soul because you're not just giving up evil, but you're actually growing in a spirit of gratitude. And when God sees that, He draws even more closely to you because He knows now that you're not looking at yourself as the source of your life. You're looking at Him where it really comes from. So maybe gratitude is something you need to pay attention to in these next weeks of Lent. Psalm 95. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. How often does that stanza come back to us again and again and again? If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Lord, yep, yeah, Lord, I want to spend time with You, but I'm too busy right now. I have to go here. I have to go there. I have to do this. Stop and give Him time because He will lead you in the way you should go. It's too bad that we often only turn to God when we've exhausted everything else. God should be the first one we go to. He should be in the middle, and He should be the last one we go to. In other words, all the time, turn to Him. Yes, look for human solutions, of course, but keep turning to the Lord that You are the source of all my hope. You're the source of all my help. Aid me, Lord. Help me. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. When He tells you what to do, don't harden your heart and say, "Oh, well, that must be just my idea," or "Well, I can't do that. It would be too hard, too difficult." Yes, test things out. Don't just think you heard the Lord and then go act on it. Go test it out with somebody who knows you well. But don't turn your back, because if it is the Lord and you've been asking Him to help you, you don't want to spurn the Lord. Today you hear His voice. Harden not your heart. Sometimes God asks something of us and we think, well, no, what really needs to happen is this and this. We take back ownership in a certain way rather than seeing ourselves as a son or daughter, a servant, a disciple of God, saying, "Lord, I will do Your will. Just make it clear to me." Keep your posture in the right place. You are the son or the daughter. You are the servant, you the disciple. You are not the master. You're not in charge. He is. Keep that in mind. Second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 2 and 4 to 8. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, sinful, He died at the appointed time for the ungodly. That's us. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You could thank God every day for the rest of your life for that one verse of Scripture. Make Thanksgiving part of your life. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. We'll see how much of it we can cover. It's a very long gospel. I probably could take a whole program on this, but let me make several points. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews used nothing in common with Samaritans. They were pagans. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir," see, she's thinking very practically. And she says, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, I don't have a husband." And Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying I do not have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." Do you hear the kindness of God? He's exposing her sin. He who is a seeming stranger to her is exposing her sin. But look at her kindness. And she says, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him." Let me just ask you one question, and we're going to pick this up tomorrow. Just listen to this one question. Do you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? Jesus is evangelizing this poor woman. Do you worship in spirit and in truth? Stay tuned for a continuation of this on Monday's program. God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.